we know what the mistake is. We're having two buttons on it.
I push the wrong one, usually.
I'm looking for that one button solution. I haven't found it yet.
I told Corky, I was sitting here tonight, I read this scripture and it jumped out at me. And you guys and I, we've read that scripture many, many times. But you know how it says in John 6:63, Jesus says, "The words that I speak are spirit and life." And anyway, so if the words that he speaks are spirit, and if that's what we're taking in, is that a foundation for becoming spiritual?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Here, in let me read the scripture here. It says...
Where is it?
John 6:63.
But that's I'm in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, towards the end.
Okay, just read.
And it says here, in verse 14, "The natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." I understand why. I mean, better than before. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What makes something spiritually discerned? How do you discern by the Spirit? By exactly what we are doing. You take the word into your system, you are going to begin to discern of the Spirit. Because the Word of God is the basis for spiritual discernment. "He that is spiritual judges all things. But he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" God. I'm thinking that we're talking about God at that point. "But we have the mind of Christ." Why? And who? Who are we talking about?
Paul and the Corinthians, I guess.
Well, we're talking about anybody that has the Word of God in them. Yeah. Will develop the mind of Christ. We are slowly developing his mind. And so it's changing. We are being changed. And so when we're talking about, lately I have said a lot about the prophets and the fact that a prophet is a promoter of the things of God, you know. And remember what John the Baptist said in the third chapter of John? He says, the one that God sends speaks the words of God. The one that God sent, he's talking about Christ, but would that not be us as well? Mm-hmm. If God sends us, are we going to speak false doctrine? Mm-hmm. He won't send us a second time. Mm-hmm. He will send those who will speak his words. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, so if we take in the Word of God, we are going to automatically become prophets of God. And that's why we say in there, it says, "Earnestly desire the best gifts, especially that you might prophesy." Prophesy meaning, you know, Jesus predicted the future. He said what's going to happen, you know, and whatever. He also knew the hearts of men sometimes, but sometimes he didn't. It appeared. Sometimes it's almost like he had he got spiritual discernment as the Father gave it to him. And so he's talking to this woman of Samaria, never met her before. And he says, "Call your husband." And so she says, "I don't have a husband." He said, "Well, you said that right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with, now you're not even married to." It's like, So what does she say? Tell me what she said.
"I perceive you are a prophet."
"Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Because he knew things about her that he shouldn't know. And so what does it say in 2 Corinthians? It says, but if all prophesy, and there comes in an unbeliever or, you know, unsaved person, and you start to prophesy, you will reveal the secrets of their hearts that where they will say, well, God is in you of a truth. You know how it says that? I'm not quoting it quite right, but
I think you got it right.
It's pretty close. And so that's part of what God is going to be doing in the last hour, especially. I have felt that sometimes, but you know, I've only in a personal prophecy, I've done that one time, you know, all my years. And I remember what was the girl that was the lady that was here?
Alberta.
And she had a lot of personal prophecies. If you give enough, some of them are going to be okay.
Yep.
And but anyway, Bob Cortell, he just passed away. But Bob and I went and saw this Payton, and he knew we were coming. And so, and we prayed, laid our hands on him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went to Bogota, Colombia, and I prophesied over him before he. That's the only time we've ever done it. And it was a strange experience. I can never forget it. It's just, you know, and prophesied the things that were going to be coming. I mean, it's almost like I couldn't stop it. It was just coming out. You know that we saw him down in, there's a place in Indiana, it's called Goshen, Indiana.
Goshen,
are you familiar with it? And it was put together by a bunch of people that moved there that were Christians, named after the land of Goshen where Israel lived in Egypt. Anyway, he walked in the power of that prophecy for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I saw him, and he was telling me about it. He said, you know what? It kept coming back to me. See, that's what it's supposed to do. And I don't even remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was not something that I have ever done other than that. That was the only time ever. I knew things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like when he got in deliverance with Vicky that night. When the Spirit of the Lord came on me, I knew what demons we were dealing with. And dumbfounded me as well as everybody else. I didn't know that before that. Because it was a spiritual discernment. But anyway, why did I say all that? There's a reason.
To talk about the revelation.
Yeah. Well, the revelation is that if we take the Word of God in enough, we have to become prophets. Because a prophet is going to speak the things of God. And the Word of God is God's Word. And this is what has been left to us, and the church is ignorant of it. Basically, they have not a clue that this is God's Word. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think Corky was something about a priest that somebody asked. They said, well, if the Bible is not in agreement with the doctrines of the church, what do you go by? And you know what? Every church is like that. It's not just the Catholic Church. They're all like that. Community Chapel in Seattle was just like that as well. What do we go by? We go by Don Burnett's
theology. The traditions of the church over the Word of God.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what began to develop in me. I became the same way. So when Johnny Tanberg asked the question, well, is this the Word of God or does this contain God's Word? I said it contains God's Word. You see what happens? If this only contains God's Word, the sky is the limit. If this is God's Word, then we are subject to this Word. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That makes all the difference in the world. Well, as far as most people, the vast majority of people are concerned, it contains God's Word. So you can do whatever you want to with it. And then I also became a King James addict. You know, it's like that's the only translation you go by. Until we got into, I think one of the things that happened was 1 Timothy 2:4 and 5. I started we started looking that up, and I realized it says the same thing in all translations. So then I started looking at some other keys, like 2 Thessalonians 2:10, you know, where it says, because they received out of love for the truth. That's in all translations. So all of the keys that we found in Revelations that Jesus is a man are in all the translations. There's just a few of them that they have done everything they can to make Jesus as a part of a Trinity. But other than that, so the translation is not the issue. That's why the New King James is fine. The Old King James is fine. A little harder to understand than other translations, but it's fine. And when it says that he was made, the Word of God was made flesh, or the Word of God became flesh, I can't really see the issue. Mm. Can you see an issue with it? Or even some of the other ones where the, I think, what is it, John 1:18?
That one's a little funny.
Yeah. That they got all kinds of things that they do to that scripture study.
I think there's a problem with what the original manuscript says there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a discrepancy between manuscripts.
But what I'm saying, I can't see a real major issue.
No.
I mean, they're trying to make one out of it, but why? And you know why? I think I understand. To discredit the scriptures. Well, how do we know which translation we should go by? Been there, done that. My brother, you know, one of my brothers, is still in that, kind of caught up in that. It's like, well, these other translations, you don't go by them. You only go by the King James. And I can remember hearing an argument one time with a couple of people about it, and it's like, I don't think so.
It's interesting, the little note I have says the NU text reads only begotten God. But now stop and think about that.
That don't make sense.
Yeah. A begotten God.
Yeah.
So
the begotten is only, it can only be possible in humanity.
Well, it means somebody larger begot something. And so it's not equal for anything else, you know.
But what I'm saying is, it's not he created to be begotten. From everything that we know, it requires male-female relationships. You know, it to beget. I mean, the word beget or begot is to be born.
You go by the genealogy.
Yeah, the way that it is meant from everything I've ever seen.
I never looked at it like that.
I don't quite get it.
Well, you know, it says so and so begat.
Yeah, right.
Begat.
Well, right.
I think that's the same context, isn't it? Begotten.
So the only only one that would be accepted would be that God begot
Jesus.
But did he beget through humanity? Or did he beget without humanity?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Right.
He begot through humanity, which changes the nature of whatever it is that he beget.
Well, before the beginning, there was no thing that got begotten.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So he created, but then what the recreation or the procreation or whatever we want to call it after that is a beginning process. So it's kind of like God stepped in or changed the process a little bit and he begat. But he did this through humanity. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There is another, a reference to saying that we are begotten.
By the Word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which relates to being born again, I think.
Yeah.
That's in the book of James, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say this, John 1:18, the King James is one of the few translations that doesn't call Jesus God just right, outright. Most of them do. the New International Version, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father. The New Living Translation, no one has ever seen God but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. English Standard Version, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.
But you know what?
And the New King James says it the same as the King James.
But the thing is,
only begotten Son.
Yeah, King James and the New King James, right.
And I think it is does relate to the manuscript issue.
The American Standard now says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. But a lot of the newer ones have that Trinitarian bend. I mean, that verse, depending on the translation, clearly calls out Jesus as God.
But the same translations that say that also say the same thing as we have on the board, on the wall.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Charlie made the point that this one is kind of known to be funny because of the way they translate it from the English manuscripts. But I was just kind of curious to see how they went, and a lot of the more popular translations indicate just that Jesus is God, which is. While we're fighting.
It said we're okay, it's working. I don't see anything moving. Yeah, I suppose if you're not talking, it's not going to work out.
Needles move when you're talking.
Yeah.
It's a test.
Yeah.
But I want to say amen to your comment. I mean, about the more that you take in the word, and the more you're sharing, the more you become a prophet if you're sharing the word of God.
Exactly.
And the best part about that is the more you take in, the more likely you are you have something to share.
Yeah.
And confident in it because you've been girded up and, you know, prepared for and maybe even looking for that opportunity. I know that I'm much more aware of an opportunity to testify, and I'm more confident about doing that now than I used to be. Not so much for me, but my faith is better that I know he'll give me the word. just to be clear.
What we're doing right at the moment, what we're saying, is enlightening prophetic utterance. Because we're gaining understanding of the word of God. So Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit. You know what? They're not spirit to most people.
Mm.
They're only spirit to us if we continue in the words and listen to them and let the Holy Spirit make them spirit. Otherwise, they're not spirit. And so that's why I said, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciple. But if you continue in some man's word, his theory or theology, you're his disciple. So I think what we need to do is read that a little bit different. In, you know, like in John 1 or 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, or set you free, as it says in some translations. So, you know what I'm saying? We've got to put the emphasis on the right syllable. You know, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. And so, what I want to be, Christ's disciple.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't want to be man's disciple anymore. I have been over the years. And I can't say that I gained much from it. You know, well, I gained something, I suppose. But and then he says, and then the other one, John 15:7. If you abide in me, isn't that what we want?
Amen.
We want to abide in Christ. And his word abides in us. Then we can ask what we will, and it will be done. We used to sing that all the time, you know. Trust and obey, believe in and say, I believe God. You know, ask what you will, and it will be done. Well, we had nothing to do with the scriptures in that song. You know, but the scriptures are the whole foundation for the song.
Mm.
And it's also the foundation for us having a church that operates according to the will of God. That's what we want. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? And so what are we doing tonight? This is what we need to do when we come together. You have this, you have that, you have this. If anything be revealed to another that sets by, let the first rule is peace, that you might all learn. I have learned tremendously from you guys. And because you're getting an area of revelation that I haven't been getting. God didn't let me get it. I had to get it from the Holy Spirit through you guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? We haven't developed and matured to any great area, you know, at this point. But I see the foundation. I see that this is what God has in mind. That's why we don't, you know, this one man band thing. It's really not the right thing. You turn Don Burnett loose, and I hate to pick on him because he passed away, you know, but or Johnny Tenberger, either one. But you turn him loose. And what they're going to do is give what they think is the right thing out of the depths of their heads, and they're going to build the church will be built on that. Or even like Johnny used to, he listened to the Bible all the time. But you know what he did? He didn't have the revelation. He started in Genesis and all the way through Revelation. Then he goes back and started in Genesis all the way through. What is he getting? You're getting
a lot of the law.
Yeah, you're getting lots of the law.
Lots of law, not so much.
And when you do that, you have to become legalistic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Legalism has to be part of who you are. But when you say that you should be concentrated on the New Testament, it's like, well, that don't make sense. We got the whole Bible. What's wrong with the rest of it? And that's ignorance. And I was ignorant too. So when I was told, you know, 18 years ago, what we had to do, we'd look for him in the right place. And then inside, I knew what that meant. I knew it meant I got to listen to his word. And, but the thing is, I had to listen just to the New Testament part of the word. Concentrate on the Gospels and that, you know. And I understood another scripture that a lot of people, you know, I understood what Moses meant, went back in Deuteronomy, and he says, when he comes, hear him. It's kind of like, okay, I'm talking right now, but when Charlie walks in, hear him instead of me. And that's what he was saying.
Hmm.
This is all going to be put aside, set aside. Who I am, what I'm doing up to the time that he comes. It says that it's been abolished. The law and the prophets, not just the law. But the law and the prophets were until John. That should tell us something, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They were until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. You mean it wasn't preached before that? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
They preached about it, but it wasn't, you know. So then Jesus comes along and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And each of the points where, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in each one of them, Jesus, John the Baptist and Jesus both began by saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm.
See? What do you mean it's at hand? Wasn't it here before? It is now being introduced. It is now you can enter into it. And people from the past that died in that will include them too, but I'm not me, but I mean God will.
Mm.
But so we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We don't seek first the church. That seems to be the thing that people do. It's like, you know, go find a good church. And this is what happens with people that I love, that we used to sit down with them and talk about that, listen to the scriptures. Well, you know, I'm getting old, and I'm thinking what we're going to do. We're going to settle, find a good town someplace, a good church. We're going to settle down, and we're just, oh, come on.
You know, along with Moses prophesying, saying there'll be another. I think about John the Baptist.
Yeah, same thing.
And you know, Jesus comes up to him, and John the Baptist knows exactly who he is and says, you know, I'm not even worthy to touch your sandals, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus' response to him has always been something that was interesting. You know, King James, St. Matthew, Matthew 3:15, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for that it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And what I find interesting about that, and what I'm taking up some time, is that fulfilling the law or the prophecy of the Old Testament, Jesus referred to, or the Word, as righteousness.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about how the Word of God is righteousness. Well, you and I had a conversation about that, maybe not everybody did during the week. Just so, you know, and I was just kind of looking at all the translations. Jesus replied, the NIV, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. You know, so John clearly recognized, you know, his position and started to tell Jesus, he didn't think that was right. And Jesus said, no, we have to do this to fulfill Scripture.
It is an interesting formulation there, that fulfilling all righteousness. And I don't know that I have a total handle on it, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, because we, Keith, what was it you and I were talking about? That we bounced a couple of scriptures about where righteousness really was being expressed as another way of the Word of God. There was a setting where Jesus called it kind of all righteous, or it's called all righteousness. It's really referring to, you know, the understanding of the Word.
You know, another setting, and this is a little different, a little strange, but a man came up to Jesus and he says, good master. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Well, he certainly was good. But he was making a point, I think. And I thought of this in relationship to the Bible, and the best possible book that we can find somewhere that about the things of God, the best possible book, written by anybody. And so we say, well, you know, I just read a good book. And it's like, why do you call it good? Only the Word of God is good. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're gonna get to the best, see, it's like we're gonna find a good church. Well, we don't even have the judgmental discernment to tell what is good and what isn't. You know, well, I'm gonna go find a good church. I'm gonna go to settle down in a small town somewhere, and I'm gonna find a good church. It's like, why do you call it good? Only the Word of God is good. Only the truth is good. We got to settle for whatever they feed us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
I just thought of something, and this might be a little out there. When we were talking about, you know, the Moses and prophets and prophesying, it's crazy. I'm hoping it's not my thought. Came to me that, so maybe, I gotta say maybe, because this is up for discernment. When Jesus went up to the mountain, and I'm going to read what it says here, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Maybe that was for Moses and Elijah's sake, to know that this is the prophet.
Why not?
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, all of a sudden I was sitting here thinking, well, why would it be a big deal to Jesus or whatever? He already knew about, but they didn't know about him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And both of them pronounce him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a crazy thought. That's a good thought.
Yeah, it's, they certainly learned about a lot in a hurry there, anyway.
It is a curious thing. Yep. Now, since he appeared to Peter and John, there must have been that point to it all also.
Something, yeah, and yeah, and I wouldn't know, it doesn't, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Why they saw Elijah and Moses, you know.
You suppose that when...
But that is interesting, that's an interesting, you know.
You suppose that when Elijah, or when, yeah, Moses and Elijah appeared, you suppose that Peter and James and John knew who it was?
Says they knew.
Or did you just have to tell them?
They certainly acted like they knew.
But that's what, it appears like they know, that they
knew. If it says... Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So they knew who was there.
By then.
Yeah.
Well, somehow.
Yeah, I guess they'd be cause to know.
And then, you know, the Lord, God, the Father, says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.
Yeah.
That's...
kind of like, okay.
It's re-emphasizing what Moses had originally said. It's repeating
right,
it.
Right. This is the one I want you to hear now.
Yeah. Reminding him of what Moses had earlier said in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
And so we have all the Old and the New Testament. Something funny. Oh, maybe I better not say anything about it, but something funny happened about it. But we have them both in the same book. And so the spiritually ignorant are going to put the same value on both. And what they do is they confuse themselves through it. There is not the same value. The Old Testament is good for support to the New. And so it's good to read it. It's good to hear it. It's good to hear the Psalms. The Psalms are up to date no matter when. You know, because they're not really... you know, they're more of a support for the scriptures. But, I don't know.
Well, it is true that you are making an error when you make them equal.
Yeah.
By giving them equal time.
Yeah.
It's like saying 2 is just as big as 10 or something, you know. It's not. It's a whole lot smaller.
And that's what
Paul speaks to that a lot.
Mm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's so much legalism in the church.
Yeah.
You don't get it from the New Testament.
No.
What always struck me about that setting was that Peter and John and others saw the three of them, and then the two faded away, leaving just Jesus. And to me, it was like these are the important people here. But that was kind of the old, the new. And I didn't think about, or it hadn't occurred to me that they were, you know, God was allowing them to see the one that he had kind of given them, you know, talk about the one yet to come.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
I mean, it kind of says they were talking, so.
Yeah, let's talk about another aspect of what you're talking about there, just because I'm familiar with how a lot of the churches think in this thing. And so it says that Moses and Elijah disappeared after the cloud came, and then when the cloud left, they were gone or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, read it. Is that the King James?
I'm the King James. Where I was...
When the cloud left.
Yeah, I was...
The cloud came and covered him.
I think I'm at the wrong spot, because I'm at the where the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Okay, before that.
Well, it's down a little further.
Maybe it is further down.
Yeah. So, hear him, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only.
Okay. Would you believe that sentence is the basis for a lot of what the UPC church believes?
Jesus only, huh?
Yeah. When they had gone, Moses and Elijah were gone, and what they saw was Jesus only.
The Bible says Jesus only.
And so anyway, there's a lot of Are you familiar? You know what I'm talking about?
I think I.
I can remember that being. And you know what? I was so ignorant and immature and whatever. I never paid that much attention to it. But I know that that's where they got it from.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, there's kind of a question as to whether they were seeing Elijah and Moses, or was it just a vision of them? You know?
I don't know.
But then Jesus would have had the benediction too, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, enough of a vision to say,
the whole event would be a vision.
Yeah.
Otherwise they're kind of like raised from the dead or what? Whatever. What is the funny status of those folks?
That was the part that I kind of But and don't Peter and John then go on to say, it is good for us to have seen them and let us erect a temple to each, and I think then God kind of makes two of them disappear and go, you don't need to be making any temples to Moses or Elijah, because that was wrong. But
tabernacle.
Thank you.
It is interesting, though, in verse 2 it says, and he was transfigured, speaking of Jesus, before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light, And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him.
There's so many funny things that are in the scriptures. You know, when Moses was 80 years old, and he was in the land of Midian.
That's the beginning of chapter 17.
But he's in the land of Midian. He's was it Jethro? Was his father-in-law or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
Zipporah, he married his daughter.
Yeah.
And anyway, and he's walking. I don't know. He's herding the sheep or doing something. He's 80 years old now, and he's walking along, and he looks over, and there's a bush on fire. And he gets over by it to look at it, and God, the voice comes out of it and says, "It's the holy ground," and it's God speaking to him. And so, okay, it's God speaking to him. So then you read in another place, it says where the angel spoke to Moses out of the bush. Who spoke to God, to Moses? God or an angel? Or does it matter?
Maybe not too much.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so then we have what I was saying about Abraham. And Abraham is concerned because God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he's concerned about his nephew Lot. And so there's two men coming towards, walking across the desert or somewhere there, and they're coming towards Moses, and Abraham, he gets down on his face and he worships him. How does he know? What made him realize that these aren't normal men? They're men, it says.
Mm.
He worships him, and God, and then God had said, do I dare? It wouldn't be right for me not to tell Abraham what I'm going to do. You remember how he worded that somehow. And so these men go down into Sodom, and they find Lot. They're men. And there was so much sodomy and stuff involved, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah would rather do whatever they're going to do with the men than with his daughters.
Lot's daughters, yeah.
With Lot's daughters, because you'd have my daughters. Well, anyway, they were so perverted and so whatever that it was more. There was so much of a demonic thing in them. But these are men, but they're not. They're angels. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's how many times just in with Abraham does. There's a man walking over there, and he bows down. He says, "It's God coming." You know what I mean? And so it's like it said, beware. You know, unless you entertain, we sometimes entertain angels unawares. A lot of We don't know. That fellow that appeared up there and helped me from getting shish kebabbed. You know, he was you. He was like, you know, he was like Charlie. He was just a guy. Except it wasn't you guys. Yeah. But he's a man. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a man. So it's mm-hmm. like, how do we know? Entertain angels unaware. How do we know? If yeah. Moses, but how did Moses know? Or how did Abraham know? You know what I'm saying? I read that and I thought, how does he know? How does mm-hmm. he know that? But it says it was God. Yeah. God was using these guys. And you know, the voice that I heard 18 years ago, I was sure when I turned around I was going to see something because it was that much of a thing. It was so real. And I was standing about where Chuck is. You know, it seemed like I just knelt down here and I turned around, there was nobody here. But I shook like a leaf for a while. That's the only time I've ever had that happen.
How to know the true manifestations of God.
Yeah.
I think he lets us know somehow or other.
Oh, I think in the spirit he does. Yes. Yes.
Or, you know, with Keith's experience, what Brittany said, what man? I didn't see him, man. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about Susan, you know, mm-hmm. with the gal that, and the cardigan sweater that you're going to be all right, you know. Mm-hmm. And Susan inquired here later on with the other staff, and
nobody
like that, and that would have been around. I mean, that is part of the experience, I think.
When
I totally agree. I mean,
yeah.
It seems to be a real person to you that no one else can see.
Right.
Just before Joanne passed away, and we're up in the hospital, there was a man that came, a doctor. At least he said he was. And anyway, he was talking to, I mean, Joanne was still coherent, you know, and everything, and we were standing out in the hallway talking to him, and he says that, with what she had, he said that nothing could have been done a year ago. He said it's just, it had crept in and had set up something that it was just impossible to do anything about, but of course we didn't know that. We didn't know there was anything wrong. And, but anyway, just from this guy, and he said he was a Christian, just as we talked to him, and I think Glenn and Barb were there, and Shelley was for sure, and whatever, as we talked to the guy, afterwards I thought, I wonder if he's a real doctor. It was an encouraging, unbelievable time. We stood out in the hallway, and a number of us talked to him. He's not like any doctor I've ever met. And when I fell down out here and one Sunday night, you guys remember that, opened up my eyebrow and they had to stitch it up. And I went into Sacred Heart Hospital. And I know that guy was not from the hospital. He had to be an angel. And he says, I don't even know if he used anything to deaden it. He said, well, we can take care of that. Ship, trip, 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 trip. He snitched it up and I was gone. You know? And him and his nurse, they were having a great time. They were laughing and having fun. And I thought, I've never seen anybody like that. I think that those guys, they're around.
Yeah, right. I hope you didn't get a bill from the hospital for the work done by an angel.
No, I take care of it. But, you know, I mean, that's...
Yeah,
I mean, it could have been a real guy, but if he was, he was a sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, I don't rule out that, you know, especially the more we're in the spiritual realm.
Why not?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, we straddle a border is what we do.
To do anything but that, to accept that, is to try and limit God.
Yeah, right. Right.
I can't find a way to defend that.
Yeah.
It's not by scripture. I mean.
You know, that is interesting that in connection with Joanne.
Yeah.
That is, it always kind of, I scratched my head because it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that a doctor would say exactly. No. Sounds like the kind of thing an angel might say. But it doesn't sound like a doctor. And, you know, Barb was harboring some feelings that, they should have taken her in.
Well, I imagine a lot of people were. But it was not because that was, I mean, neither one of us have been really excited about going in, neither her or me.
What you did, well, but first of all, you can't change time.
But I
changed what happened in the past. And second of all, I think it was totally reasonable for you to do what you did. Totally reasonable. Yeah. Totally reasonable.
Well, and that's what Mary Gunn was here the other day, and she said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we did it the right way. We did what we we did what we knew to do.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And if there was anybody that didn't want to lose his way, it was me.
Yeah, right. No, it was, I'd be satisfied on that one, Keith.
Yeah, but well, I am.
Every winter she got a cold, a cough.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, and it would, in fact, it would last all summer, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure.
A chronic.
They said that cancer had been in there. She was diagnosed with cancer in 2011, and but all of the biopsies they took were negative. They said, no, it's not cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it still was there. It had been working upper and upper areas. And that was her cough was caused by that cancer.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know that.
Well, I guess my point is that Barb Neubauer, that really should have put to bed any kind of thoughts that she had.
Yeah.
If the doctor had that.
I think it did.
Yeah.
It did me too.
Yeah.
I mean, God put him there just at the right time.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
That's all on the. All on the tape, so.
Yeah. Yeah, God has his hands on all of us.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've always said about Joanne is not a lot of people walked in more faith than she did.
No.
So.
No, I, you know, I tell you what, I right or wrong, I thought of Enoch, and it says that Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And I'm wondering how many other people that have walked close to God and God, he took them. Mm-hmm. I think he took Brian, our son Brian, a 15-year-old that carried his Bible to school, and that's kind of uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would sit sometimes for hours and just read the Bible. And it's like, it kind of embarrassed me. Not embarrassed, but made me feel, you know, guilty myself. And he took him. Took Mike and Sue. And Mike and Sue, I think, were a couple of the, you know, sweetest Christian people that ever. They just loved each other, and they worked out at the same time, and that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's so great about a long life as opposed to a short one?
Well,
the older you get, the more you wonder.
Right. Well, I know.
The wisdom starts to ebb away. I don't know.
But yeah.
I am grateful for the last 18 odd years, though.
Yes.
Really, really am grateful for what he showed us and allowed us. I mean, I feel a lot closer than I used to.
Well,
I tell you, from my perspective, I am extremely, you know, thankful to God for what he's doing. I'm also thankful to you guys. Because it's like you don't have to look to the Word of God. You don't have to do it. You don't have to listen to it all the time. You know, I mean, that's a decision. It's still a decision that you made that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And what it does, and which I didn't even know, Psalms 19:7, the word is it's perfect. This word is perfect. That's why it's good. And it converts the soul. And it's like I told, Chuck's brother. I said, you listen to it, but don't try to understand it. Just listen to it. It works on your inner system, and it does something that you can't see it happening. It comes without observation. But it changes your life from the inside out. There's nothing else like it. And the reason it is that does it is because it is spirit.
Spirit to spirit.
Yes.
Spirit to the spirit in you.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah.
But you can't see it.
That's
coming
why you
out
don't have to be understanding it.
Yeah, right.
By your natural mind.
Yeah. A magnet won't pull wood. Right. It takes another magnet to...
So you're walking along, and here comes this spiritual thought from somewhere, and it's because it's in your system. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, it doesn't say. And if you understand my words that abide in you, if my words abide in you, mm-hmm. if you abide in me, and my words abide or live in you, you can ask what you will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What kind of a promise is that?
Yeah. You're right. Abiding and understanding are two very different things.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so the scriptures have painted us a picture of the word in us. So if it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and Christ is and was and always will be the Word of God, then do we have him in us without having his word in us? Or do we have him in us because we have his word in us?
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, you have to... What I think it's beginning to teach us is there's always natural understanding, spiritual understanding,
Yeah.
It's not just, you don't even have to understand it if it's in you. But the point is, if you do get understanding, you got to know that, I don't want natural understanding, I want spiritual understanding, And don't try to figure it out naturally because it's...
You can't. No.
And that's what is just not understood. That's what, it's been taking us 18 years to begin to understand that this spiritual thing is totally different from the natural, And you're not going to see a lot of it because it's spirit.
That's right.
Which
doesn't lend itself to words.
And then that's faith,
Yeah. That really explains it. And it's kind of like Betty used to say, you know.
That's right. That was the way she expressed it, wasn't it? Yeah.
But that's a good way to say, hear it, listen to it, but don't, just let it work because it says the Holy Spirit will teach you, so it's not going to be audible. You're hearing the word, and He's going to put it in you without you having to do anything naturally other than to listen. That's the only requirement, basically.
The business of comprehension is another thing altogether.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how foolish that is to the...
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
almost.
Right. That's first class.
It may sound ridiculous to someone listening to this, but if they'll humble themselves and just let God show them and point them, He will.
Yeah. He says it's going to be foolishness.
Foolishness to the wise.
That's right. That's exactly what it's
going
to be. Right.
It kind of lets you off the hook and says, if you try and figure this out, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
And there are many, many examples, more so in the Old Testament, where, the God just says, I'm just not going to let you get it.
Yeah, that's right.
He just says, you just aren't going to get it. Because now is not the time.
And Jesus said the same thing regarding the parables.
Yeah, exactly.
And God said, "I'll put a stupor on them."
Yeah.
So
if they
do them a favor,
only God knows, kind of. But if they already have an unbelieving heart, then He's not going to let them ever see it.
Yeah. Right.
You know. So that's what you want to pray, that you don't have an unbelieving heart, and then he will show you, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So. Yeah, John 15:7, those two phrases, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I mean, a couple things have got to be going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be into the word, and you're going to be continuing after him. And
yeah.
And the promise that he provides there is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Ask what you want, and it will be done. Which only means that either I'm not abiding him enough, or his words don't abide. Or I'm asking for all the things that are not part of his will, which might be more likely.
Yeah. It's a process,
Marty. It's a process. Yeah.
When I saw that,
Paul and everybody else, that you know, it seems like the more they did, the more the trouble they got into.
Oh yeah.
The more Paul, sacrifice they had.
Paul just made a whole lot of trouble for himself, didn't he? All right. All right.
That was a real eye opener to me when I saw John 15:7, because we used to sing that song all the time. You know, trust and obey, ask and then say, I believe God. Ask what you will and it shall be done. It's like it had nothing to do with the
abiding and
the foundation of how that happens. If you abide in him and his word abides in us, then
you can sing that.
Then you can sing it.
Except you only can want what he wants. You there.
That's right.
Of course, I think that's what Jesus always said, right?
Sure.
Jesus implied that if you are right, your heart is right, and you're open to God, you don't have a non-God idea. Your will is his will.
Yeah.
When I testify, I keep talking about that's where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
You know.
We're to know what he wants us to know, and conversely, we're not to know what he has not set for us to know.
Oh, yeah, that gets back to what's revealed to us in the Lamb.
Forgive people that.
Right. So,
anyways.
So, should we end on that?
I know. God bless you.
Let me just squeeze one more thing in here, Keith, before, you know, you're talking about this matter of being the one-man band and, this is in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in, where is it? Okay. For the body is not one member, but many. Yet the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it not therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So,
stop and think about a huge church hearing from one man how much they're not hearing.
Exactly. Right.
Because there could be all kinds of people in that church that are receiving truth or revelation, but if they're never allowed to speak it,
then where's the spelling?
Where's the edification of the body, where's the learning?
And I don't think that we're getting it yet, it's going to happen.
You know? No.
There's going to be more people involved, and there's going to be some real dynamic, fiery revelations. That's what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God
and
bless
maybe
us.
Some persecution. Ready to go to the slide?
Right.